We are in an Advent worship series called Do Not Be Afraid. And today we're talking about do not be afraid to practice joy as we lean into Advent. We have our Advent joy calendar or joy candle lit over in our Advent wreath. Where's your joy? It's a question a good friend of mine asked his mom years ago. His mom had a career as a high-powered consultant, and she was busy. She was all over the place, and she retired, but she didn't really, really retire. She still took on some side projects and some things, and then as she got a little bit older, the phone call stopped ringing, and she started saying no to a couple of things, and she began to kind of pull back from the world, and she began to prepare to die. And earlier in her life, she had had some bouts with cancer. And so, death was kind of always in her mind. But she had pulled so far back from family and from friends at a period of time when she had more time than she ever had in her whole life. She had more resources than she'd ever had in her whole life. She could have been traveling. She could have been in relationships with friends and family. And she kind of was shutting out the world. And it was creating an issue for her family. And so her son met with her and said, "Where's your joy? Where's your joy, Mom?" Well, in the Gospel of John, the Gospel that Marlis just read, Jesus is also preparing. Jesus is preparing for his own death. He is praying this prayer to God. He's preparing for life, his disciples, for life without him. And he prays, and it's almost a desperate prayer, a prayer that asks that the disciples would come to know God just as Jesus knows God. Jesus prays that his disciples would become one so that they would also know the same kind of joy that Jesus knows, the joy of oneness with God. We'll read it again. It's a prayer that Jesus is praying to God. "But now I'm coming to you, God, Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have joy made complete in themselves." Jesus' prayer, his petition, recognize one simple truth, that in his presence, his physical presence with his disciples brought his disciples joy. But when he was going to be gone, his absence would create a void, that other things would enter into that void. And Jesus is praying that his disciples would fill that space with joy. And not only his disciples, but speaking that into the world, so that you and I here and in our time would know joy too. Because Jesus knows that there is a thief out there. There is a great thief. There is a stealer of joy. And it's the same thing that my friend's mom had stole my friend's mom's joy as well. And that great thief is fear. Fear. Fear is the great thief of joy. And Jesus knew that in his absence, the disciples were going to experience massive fear. Their leader was gone. The weight of the world was going to bear down upon them and attempt to steal their fear. Fear, the great joy thief. But Jesus' prayer is that we would know our God just as Jesus knows God. That we would know our Creator just as intimately as a son knows his father. And in knowing that, our joy would be restored. So what does Jesus know about God? What does his son know about his father? Well, Jesus knew that God so loved the world that God was willing to come to be one of us. One of us. Not outside the world, not looking out, but one of us to become human with all of our human issues. That's how much God so loved the world. But God so loved the world that God was willing to give it all for you. God so loves the world that God is willing to give it all for you and to you. Jesus knew that God so loved the world, he knew that there was this battle between good and evil, and God is battling evil on our behalf, and God has the last word. Evil doesn't have the last word. God has the last word. So if that joy that Jesus had would be complete in us through this oneness with God is what Jesus is praying for. Now, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. Happiness is an emotion that we can get from doing all kinds of things. I want to tell you, I'm happy that we got all of our Christmas decorations up and our tree up this weekend. It's done. It's over. I'm very happy about that. Friday, I was very happy to sit and watch my family make lefse. I have to say sit and watch because the pressure was high. I don't know about you people making lefse, but the pressure is high. You got to get the stick in there. You got to throw the thing and roll the thing. I just want to watch. But I was happy. Now, I did have joy this weekend, though. I had joy as my son and daughter were home and they're joking around and laughing as they decorated the tree. That gives me great joy. See, joy is deeper. Joy is not just a surface emotion. Joy is a deeper reality. And a deeper reality from knowing with all confidence than with God that Jesus knew that no matter what, even as he faced death, that he was loved. He was not abandoned. He was not forsaken. He was not alone. Even when he was not happy, especially when he was not happy, he could know joy. And the relationship with his creator brought joy. So what do you fear? What is stealing the joy that God desires for you? Do you fear death? Like my friend's mom, it's a big one. It's been stealing joy for a lot of us for a long time. What do you fear? And what is stealing your joy? Do you fear not having enough? Not having enough time? Not having enough money? Not having enough relationships? Over the season of Advent, I have a serious request of you. I want you to ask yourself a bold question. What is stealing your joy? I'm serious. It's not just an exercise in a sermon. I'd like for you to, this week and all through Advent, just sit some days and just, what do you fear? What is stealing your joy? Maybe ask yourself the question, where is my joy? And if you find that fear is winning the day, lean into joy. And I want to give you a way how. While fear is the great joy thief, gratitude is the fear antidote. Let me say that again. While fear is the great joy thief, gratitude is the fear antidote. Several years ago, I was with my wife's grandmother on her deathbed. We call her Gigi. And Gigi wasn't happy about dying, but she was filled with joy because she had absolute confidence in who she was in the eyes of God. And that's how she lived most of her life. And Gigi had a really, really tough life. It was not an easy life. She had lots of things happen in her life that could bring about a lot of fear. But she knew what joy was, and you could see her joy because she knew that gratitude was the antidote for fear. She didn't have much, but what she had was she was immensely grateful for her family, her grandkids, especially her great-grandkids. She watched my daughter occasionally in her apartment. And we'd go pick up my daughter, and her apartment was like 150 degrees. The TV was up to maximum. You couldn't hear. And there my daughter is running around with her diaper on with flour all over her face because they were baking. Joy, joy, and being grateful. Gigi knew how to be grateful. It warded off fear, and she was able to shine through. So for you, for me, for all of us, this Advent, let's start with joy through gratitude. Do not be afraid to practice joy. So here's the small discipline for you to practice. First of all, fear is very real. It's very real. Jesus calls it the evil one. Satan is fear. Satan is evil. And to deny the presence of evil and fear can be quite debilitating. You know, we shove it down. You know, that's how we've kind of been raised. You know, we're afraid, we're fearful, we don't want to deal with it. We shove it down, and it comes out in wonky ways. So acknowledge it. When fear creeps in, I want you to recognize it, and I want you to say these words: welcome, fear. Welcome, fear. I know that you're here. I recognize that at this moment, in this time, I am fearful. You could even say, fear, have a seat. Come sit next. I know you're there. You're looking, lurking around. You don't have to hide. I know that you hear fear. Have a seat. And then I want you to start making a list. You can make it a mental list or even write it down in front of fear itself and write a list of things that you're grateful for. Welcome, fear. I know that you're here. Check out my list of things I'm grateful for. Check out my list, fear. I will shove my gratitude in your face. You know what that does? We have more control. We have more control over fear. Fear doesn't just like disappear. It's not magic. It's still there. But it doesn't have the same kind of control over us. But this is a discipline. It takes practice. And you'll have to do it over and over and over and over again. Welcome, fear. I know that you're here. My mom is doing that right now. As of you guys have known some of my journey with my dad, I got an email from my mom on Friday just saying that he's done eating. Now it's probably going to be weeks till he dies. And she said in the email, but don't worry about me. And she made a whole list of things she's grateful for. Fear, I know you're here, but look at my list. You have fear, but you also have things to be grateful for. Make that list. Do you fear for your kiddos? Counter that fear with listing off how grateful you are for them. Do you fear for your financial situation? Counter that fear with thoughts of gratitude for what you do have. Do you fear for your health? Counter that fear with grateful thoughts that today you are here. Because the plea that Jesus makes for his disciples is the same plea that Jesus makes for us today. But now I am coming to you, Father, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy complete in themselves. Amen. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you are constantly working in our lives to bring us joy. Help us be grateful. Help us be grateful so that we know that we can live with you and that our joy might be complete. We ask all of this in your most holy and precious name. We all said together, amen.